Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to Real Life Real Crime Daily for Friday, March 24th. And I'm Jim Chapman.
I'm Woody Overton.
And I'm Mike Agavino. Good morning, guys.
Morning.
Good morning.
Well, he's done it again, Jim.
Shut up 2 days in a row?
Well, he did that, but he also predicted, as we recorded on Tuesday morning, that the police would declare Stephen Smith's death a homicide, and they did it later that day.
I'm also going to...
That tells me they listen to this show.
Right?
Sled's favorite podcast.
Sled. Well, I'll leave that acronym alone today, but I'm going to go out on a limb and now predict that I guarantee you they're going to tie this back to the Murdaughs. Watch this.
Yeah, well, I won't take that bet. Yeah. My Drizzly account is, my American right. Express card is screaming.
Drizzly.com, the best home delivery alcohol.
Okay, so you guessed it. We're opening with more Murdaugh, and let's face it, can you ever get enough Murdaugh?
Yes, but not they keep giving.
They just keep giving. Right. They do just keep giving. So we went back and forth a little bit last episode in terms of when this investigation started and what was supposedly found or what happened during the double murder investigation that led Sled to reopen the 2015 Stephen Smith case. And it's still not clear in terms of what they discovered or if they discovered anything physical, but it is clear that it was during that investigation that they quote unquote found new evidence connected to Smith's death and decided to reopen the case. And that was in June 2021. And so if it seemed like to some of you that that case was just reopened, it wasn't. In fact, it's been reopened for almost 2 years now because they reopened it during the middle of the double murder investigation. So we previously reported about Sandy Smith, Stephen's mom, launching the GoFundMe campaign to exhume the body and have another autopsy done. And that continues. She's raised over $85,000 as of yesterday morning. South Carolina authorities announced that, quote, progress has been made in the homicide probe of Buster Murdaugh's former classmate, Stephen Smith. So they just announced they were declaring it a murder, and then they immediately announced that progress has been made in the homicide probe. And they said that that they didn't want to announce anything during the double murder trial because they didn't want to have that in the news and possibly corrupt anything. And so that now, if you think about it that way, it makes sense that it's coming out now that, yes, they had this investigation open and that they waited until they thought it was the appropriate time. What I hadn't heard anything about until yesterday was this 2016 letter that was penned by Sandy Smith. In that letter, Sandy Smith told the FBI that her son was having an affair with Buster Murdaugh and that she felt the Murdaughs were involved. As we reported on Real Life Real Crime Daily on Monday, Buster Murdaugh came out and vehemently denied having anything to do with Smith's death. And so his timing of coming out and saying that uh, uh, that you know, he wanted the press to, you know, please leave him alone and respect his privacy during this period of mourning. And by the way, I thought that was a really interesting thing when I listened back to the episode and us talking about it and considered it. He's talking about being in a period of mourning, and I understand the quote unquote mourning may be associated with your father now going down, going to prison, but this is 2 years after your mother and your brother were murdered. And so he's talking about having the news media back off because he's in mourning over Pawpaw and Maggie.
Yeah.
2 years later. Not that your mother and your brother are murdered. You think about it every day of your life, I'm sure. But your period of hard grieving and, you know, inability to function, I don't think extends 24 months later. And so I don't know, maybe I'm reading too much into that, but that seemed to me like a very sort of manufactured defense on why they should be leaving him alone.
Yeah, it seemed to me that he's throwing out there, you keep messing with me and I'm going to throw a lawsuit. But the wheels of justice turn slow and this boy's about to get done.
So SLED you know, issued this release the other day, and they said that the probe was never closed and remains a homicide investigation. Progress has been made, and the investigation is active and ongoing. They did not disclose the nature of the progress. SLED Chief Mark Keel has assigned additional agents to work the case in the hopes that, quote, those who may know what happened to Mr. Smith are more willing to speak freely now than they may have been in 2015 or 2021. Why do you suppose they might be more willing to speak freely now?
Because daddy's in prison.
Exactly.
Daddy's in prison. Ding, ding. And so that puts a little bit.
I've always said you put the handcuffs on someone, you put them in jail, people come out of the woodworks and say shit.
That's right. And he seemed untouchable, you know, well, that whole family before.
They were.
Before daddy went to prison. Yeah. So now it also gives people confidence that, hey, they're going to take our complaints and issues seriously and investigations seriously, where before they didn't feel like that.
I found this weird, guys. Give me your take on this. Former South Carolina State Trooper Todd Proctor. I don't know if you guys have heard that name during any of the
– read it this morning. Yeah.
Okay. So he led the preliminary investigation – into Smith's death. He told Fox News that there was no evidence pointing to a hit and run. He said, quote, it looked like it was more staged.
And he also said that he had his shoes on. I'm just teasing. He didn't say that.
He did say,
but he did have
he
his
did
shoes
say
on.
There were no tire marks on the road.
Right.
And Smith did have abrasions that would indicate he slid across asphalt.
There was no broken glass. There were
no vehicle parts.
Okay, but here's
headlights.
Here's the bigger thing to me. Okay, so he's investigating it back then, and his investigation is consistent with foul play.
Right.
But they don't come out and rule foul play at that point.
Daddy still had the influence to some people.
We're all together on that, right? Ding, ding. Okay. Here's the literal language of the 2016 letter to the FBI from Sandy Smith, was that she suspected her son was having an affair with Buster. A man who claimed to have witnessed the killing allegedly told her family that Buster had beaten her son with a baseball bat. That was in a letter she wrote to the FBI in 2016. Yeah.
That fits with the broken brain stem and all of that they found in the autopsy.
I think I've seen pictures of Buster in baseball uniform. Seriously.
I don't know.
I think I've seen family pictures of I think Buster played ball.
Well, yeah, they were athletes, and the dad played football.
I carried a bat in my truck just to beat the shit out of people.
Yeah, but if you played competitive baseball,
I did.
You can – so you know. You can generate a little bit more – club head speed than most people wielding a bat. So that I could see that being the weapon of choice for someone like Buster.
Yeah.
allegedly. How many times do I need to say allegedly?
Allegedly.
So anyway, this thing just gets even more interesting. And guess what? There's an auction today.
Yeah.
An auction of Murdoch family furniture, dishes, artwork, and other personal effects.
Even deer heads and stuff that they had mounted on the wall. And I'm really upset that it's not on proxy bid. I just love auctions, y'all, and I used to get online auctions all the time and bid on stupid shit.
Shout out Southerners.
Right, Southerners. Yeah, I love them, right? But it's not online.
Okay, well, first of all, we need to get back on Facebook and make an appeal. We've got to have some listeners in that area. If you are a listener, well, you're not going to hear this till tomorrow, so we got to put it on Facebook. But hopefully someone will respond that can get over there at 4 o'clock because, I mean, I know I'm in the market for some Murdaugh merchandise. Woody, so if you could have someone bid on something on your behalf, what would it be?
I want one of the bucks on the wall, one of the mounts to put in my bar. And I'd put the Real Life, Real Crime Daily Murdaugh. Can I get a 20 t-shirts that we're about to sell merchandise? I'll hang that up from the horns on the buck.
That's a good one.
That Jim,
any particular item you'd be in the market for?
You know, I'm sure there's tons. Love antiques anyway, but in auctions and all that sort of thing. But I will say this on that, and to me, it's absolutely crazy that they didn't offer an online bidding for this auction because
it would have made more money. Yeah.
Well, that's right. And you're trying to recover money for victims, not only of all the, you know, killings and things that he did, but you're trying to recover money for victims that he screwed over and all those insurance scams he was running. Right. Over 99 people. So the best way to do that is to get as much money as possible for those items. There's no doubt they would have got more money in an online auction.
Yep.
Yeah, so they're saying that there's some photos online.
Yeah, and mine too.
Leather couches, monogram pillows. There's a pillow that says Pawpaw on it that you might
get. I would definitely get that. Yeah. There's not I don't know if pillow, is there?
No, there's one that has Maggie's initials.
Pawpaw.
There's also hunting trophies.
Right.
So I was wondering if Alex had won a trophy for best shot in a confined space.
The hunting trophies. The hunting trophies.
That's really funny. Bad. Yeah.
The trophies are actually the deer mounts. I saw pictures of them.
We're counting those as trophies?
Yeah, those are trophies. That's why you mount your bucks on the wall. They're trophies that you display forever.
Okay, never having killed a sweet.
Come on down,
Bambi,
and we kill.
Having killed Bambi and put her on the wall, I wouldn't know anything about that. But
we don't kill Bambi and put her on the wall. We eat Bambi.
If we fry
Bambi whole.
If there was a trophy for best shot in a confined space,
young and tender Bambi,
for the blast that sent Pawpaw's brains flying, I would have bid on that. But also, if there just happens to be any baseball bats around,
how about their firearms? I'd bid on their firearms.
I don't think they're auctioning firearms.
They should.
I didn't say that. They recently found some firearms. Maybe they're talking about that. No, they're not mentioning. It's unclear, which is really disappointing, whether the merchandise for the auction is coming from Moselle or one of their other or multiple other homes. And so if it's not from Moselle, to me, it seriously degrades the value of these things. But anyway, even more Murdaugh news. Last piece of Murdaugh news is that the Satterfield sons still want justice. They never received a dime of the $4.3 million that came.
They're going to get some from the auction probably.
Yeah, the executor will divvy all that out.
Well, they got a lot more stuff to auction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, this is just one of the
Just the estates, land that they have. Yeah, I mean, what does Moselle go for? I mean, it's got to be.
I saw something where they estimated its value. I think between $2 and $3 million. I don't know about
that's
that.
Not even.
But you don't know if he took out. He might have taken out equity lines on those. I mean, I haven't seen all of that.
That's, so that's not even the value of Mike's front walkway on his house.
Well, thanks for mentioning that again, Woody. So, and just to give you an idea of what Alec is facing, folks, he's now facing trial for 99 alleged financial crimes from 19 separate indictments. He's accused of embezzling an estimated $9 million from his family's decades-old personal injury law firm and its clients, as well as some other cases like the Satterfields.
And he's about to be facing charges of obstruction for helping his son cover up his alleged lover's murder.
Wow.
You heard it. You heard it here first.
So how is she still with him 2 weeks later in Hilton Head, Woody? I don't know,
but you can go to drizzly.com, and if you pay off your debt, I'll answer that for you.
Okay. I just think it's a sham. It's a cover. She's not really with him. I need proof that they've had sex outside that
a picture of her. Y'all, I don't even know what she looked like. I'm just saying she wasn't getting a dump in the first 2 weeks and make herself look like a whore or money grubber or whatever you want to call it, gold digger.
Well, Sherry looks like a gold digger. She's been dating Ronald McDonald for how many years?
She might come from money. She might shit gold.
She may believe they're all
she might bleed
innocent.
Gold. Wouldn't it be cool if you bleed gold? Instead of having the goose laying the gold egg, you just slit your wrist and bleed gold everywhere.
This ends today's Murdaugh update.
Thank you.
Do you guys know what May 12th is? Sunday, May 12th?
Mama's Day.
That would be correct. It's Mother's Day. So let me ask you, do you basically get your mom the same gift every year for Mother's Day? Maybe some flowers, some chocolates, maybe a robe or a framed photo, boring stuff, right?
Right.
Well, let me tell you about something that's totally cool and different from Mother's Day that will never wilt, spoil, or put an extra 10 pounds around her waist. I'm talking about MyLifeInABook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty unique. Cool, right?
Right.
Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you wish to ask. Your mom can either type a response to the email or she can record her voice if she prefers to do that, or she can do both. Cool. And MyLifeInABook.com then compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book as well as an audiobook. And if you want, and she's up to the task technically, you know, the audiobook is a great extra thing to be able to do. Imagine discovering stories about her youth, adventures, and the challenges she overcame. This book becomes a legacy, something you and your future generations can treasure. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is kind of your chance to give her a way to share them. Every family's a little bit different. And in my family, we love to give each other a really hard time. So I've taken the approach in doing this of asking my mom to comment on some of those family moments that might be a bit embarrassing to other family members. Last week, my question was, Mom, did you feel guilty that day you hit me over the head with your wooden clog and Dad had to take me to the hospital for 8 stitches? Mom's response, back in the day, I was the disciplinarian of the house, and when you were 8 years old, you refused to get out of Nancy's, that's my sister's, plastic kiddie pool. I told you 10 times to get out of the damn pool. You didn't listen, so I chased you around the yard, and when you slipped, I nailed you right on the head. That was the last time you got in that kiddie pool. Of course, Dad had to lie to the ER and tell him that that you fell on your head, but I nailed you good. The entire process with My Life in a Book is simple. And in the end, Mom will have a great keepsake that can remain in your family for generations.
Check out MyLifeInABook.com and use code RLRC at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's MyLifeInABook.com and use code RLRC for 10% off today.
Save big money on your next project now at Menards. Update your home with low-maintenance vinyl windows from Jeld-Wen. They're durable, energy efficient, and are low maintenance. Menards carries over 100 different size and style options in stock, ready to take home today. Save big on Jeld-Wen windows now at Menards. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. Hi, y'all. Let me take you in the Millard update. we had a little something I was going to talk about, which was BRPD was down in the hood, which is on March 21st, on Tuesday. And this kind of piqued my interest. They're still down there working on to get more information on the Millard case. And basically what happened was they used to happen to us all the time. You pull up and there's a crowd full of people and you get out of your vehicles and one asshole's got a warrant and they run, right? Well, somebody did. They ran. They got in a vehicle pursuit. Okay. Now, what I want to tell you about, what I found out this morning, and this is really interesting and probably brings the whole case in perspective for me. So, newly filed investigative documents say Nathan Millard's family received an anonymous phone call claiming that the tourist was possibly given bad drugs as part of a setup and detailing an alleged scheme by a Baton Rouge drug dealer, y'all, that's stanky, to relocate Millard's body so he could claim the reward for finding him. All right. So the cops filed a bunch of search warrants this week and, of course, they arrested Stanky. During this, it came to light that Millard's wife had actually received some phone calls, okay, during the time that he was missing. So search warrants seeking the phone records of several people possibly linked to the case explained that Millard's wife had two bizarre phone calls in the days after Millard's body was recovered. One of those calls happened on March 15th when Millard's wife dialed a Baton Rouge-based number that had repeatedly tried to call Millard's phone, which was found on a sidewalk downtown after his disappearance. She said when she called, a female voice answered and only said, yeah, before quickly hanging up. A day later, Millard's wife received a phone call from a block number, and she answered it. The mystery caller, believed to have been a woman, reportedly claimed that Stanky, or Perkins, and other unnamed conspirators picked up Millard with the intent of giving him bad drugs and robbing him. The caller went on to allege that Stanky initially dumped the body at a different location near a railroad track and a dumpster, and then had someone help him move the remains to a lot along Scenic Highway after learning that a reward had been offered. Police were first able to link Stanky to the case after he tried using Millard's debit cards, etc. Y'all know about that. And so it just makes it interesting to me that the wife's received this phone call. I bet you there's something to it. That's why the body was wrapped. They dumped him and holy shit, the big reward. Now we can make the money because you can get the reward for being anonymous. So I bet they're going back and looking at the person who allegedly smelt the body and called it in now and tied it all in. But interesting, right?
Yeah. So do you think you could use canines now at that first location and still pick up?
Absolutely. You could. And that's a great point. As soon as you die, your body starts to get off a certain odor that these dogs are trained for. And I've used them on cases where the body was gone, like little Kaylin Adele's case, and the dog came in and went immediately to the wash machine and started pawing on it, right? And so, yeah, that's – well, you know what? There's been a lot of rain and stuff. I don't know how that works out, the bad weather. But this certainly – Stanky burned the car and swapped all the license plates and everything else, but it's not above him to, I don't believe that. I believe that they probably gave him the blue, whatever it was called with the fentanyl in it to kill him. But after they realized, holy shit, this is a big deal. We can go move the body or do whatever and call it in and get that $10,000 reward. I mean, hey, $10,000 for Stanky is like, $10 million.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'd buy that completely.
He might could go get some full coverage insurance and burn another car. And to this date, he's the only one that's been arrested for anything in relating to Millard's death. So there you have it.
All right, let's move on to some trademark issues going on in crime right now. Trademark violations are serious.
Yep.
And
you copy RRC Daily's Murdaugh Can I get a 20 shirt or Shit Business right. Body Parts Bucket? We're hammering your ass.
That's right. Hugo Holland. We're going to stick him on. So Jack Daniels, no different, and they protect their trademarks, and they're saying a novelty toy maker by the name of VIP has violated trademark protections. Now, the toy in question is basically a this is a dog. It's a they call it a bad spaniel. And this dog toy is shaped like a whiskey bottle. And it's kind of obvious that it looks like Jack Daniel's whiskey bottle. And they even have old number two instead of old number seven because it's poop themed.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. So
but it's a squeaky toy?
It's a squeaky toy.
Okay.
And it's poop themed, says old number two. Get it? So obvious parody of the Jack Daniel's brand bottle, and they look at it as it should be protected under free speech, that they should be able to do that because they're not actually putting Jack Daniel's on there in old number seven. Although inference, right? That's a huge thing.
They fucking know what they're doing.
Exactly.
Sorry.
Exactly. So the whiskey maker, describes the offending products as poop-themed toys, and they countered that the likelihood of confusion is what would cause the violation of the trademark. So basically what they're saying is people will think we're making this because it's so close to our whiskey bottle. Now, the attorney for Jack Daniels came out and basically said that, hey, Jack Daniels loves dogs, and we appreciate a good joke over here at JD.
Right.
But we love our customers even more, and we don't want them confused or associating our fine whiskey with dog poop.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Get that?
I get it, and I'll take it a step further. I don't think they want their customers who already ingested a fifth of Jack Daniels to go in a store and buy this bottle because it looks like Jack Daniels and get home and realize it's not Jack Daniels.
That's
a poop toy. You could avoid that? Drizzly.com. If you want your Jack Daniels, get them delivered to wherever you're at.
That's a very good point, Woody.
That's right. So they're taking this all the way to the Supreme Court. They're going to hear this case very soon. And the reason it's made it all the way to the Supreme Court is the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in 2020, way back in 2020, so three years ago, ruled in favor of VIP products, saying that its toys are protected under the First Amendment.
Lawyers making money.
Lawyers making money. So, of course, Jack Daniels didn't take that sitting down. They pushed it and eventually had the Supreme Court agree to review that case and make a decision. And actually, that doesn't seem like a huge deal, but it really is, y'all, because it's going to set what? Precedent.
Right. Also, you know, the Supreme Court doesn't have to hear cases. They only actually hear like maybe 3% of all cases that are submitted up to them. So if they agreed to hear the case, you're definitely that's going to be the new policy procedure because somebody screwed something up. And they may deny it.
That's right.
But them at least hearing it sets a precedent in itself.
It really does. And of course, Jack Daniels got some other big companies in other industries to back them. Those companies include Nike, Campbell Soup, and American Apparel. They basically filed briefs saying the appeals court interpretation of the law threatened trademark protections that shield the value of iconic brands. The Biden administration also supports the whiskey maker.
Well, all that sounds like to me is a whole bunch of lawyers making a whole bunch of money.
Yeah. So and a big company getting pissed that somebody had a better idea than they did because they should have done this themselves.
Right, you're right.
And
you're right.
So somebody in the marketing department got slapped with this thing and lost their job, no doubt. Sorry to my friends in Lynchburg, Tennessee. Right. Love your stuff.
Lynchburg Lemonade.
But leave these. This is a little company that made it. I'm sure I have, yes.
Yeah. It's a very famous drink. actually sell the Jack Daniel bottles, the small ones now. It's pre-mixed with the JD and the lemonade. You don't believe me, go to drizzly.com and look it up.
We went to a little field trip when I was in Tennessee down to the tastings room and stayed in that tastings room a little bit too long back in the day.
The limestone water, gotcha.
But, that's a little company that, made a squeaky dog toy. Give me a break. I'm trying to think of my dog's squeaky dog toys, and like one of his favorites is a little Chewbacca.
Yeah.
I mean, is Lucas going to come after the makers of that little Chewbacca? Or they probably licensed that Chewbacca.
Let me tell you my experience with dog toys too, because y'all just brought it up and it just popped in my head. This weekend, I cut my grass when it was cold. This past weekend when it was cold for the first time, and I ran over about three or four chew toys in the yard with a riding lawnmower. And the other one is my best friend, Mitch Waller, has this whatever kind of dog, like a pit bull or something, and it has this giant, and it goes like one a week, giant. It looks like a furry bone, right? But the dog, every time the dog picks it up, it picks it up on one of the corners of the bone, so it looks like a giant penis. Like biggest fairy balls on one end and the penis on the other end. It looks like it's getting the penis a knob from the side.
Why don't you post that on the Facebook
page? You know what? I got to do that because I swear every time I see him, I'm like, yes, mess, put your penis down.
God.
Sorry. That should be a crime, but. Real life for Crime Daily.
Guys, have you heard about the guys that escaped from prison in Virginia?
Yes.
Pretty unbelievable thing how they managed to put this enormous hole in the wall and get out of the prison. So, I mean, two inmates were they were recaptured in Virginia after they escaped by digging a hole with tools they made from a toothbrush and a metal object.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All they got to do is figure out how to get out.
Right, so they did an Andy Dufresne, but they did it with a. Right. But this is a big hole.
We got to put that. We'll post the picture on the Crime Daily's Facebook page.
Yeah, we'll post the picture of the hole on the Facebook page. But so they escaped from a Newport News, Virginia jail by digging out and scaling a wall, but they were found hours later. And rearrested. The Newport News jail annex discovered the two inmates, John Garza, age 37, and Arlie Nemo, age 43, missing during a routine head count around 7 p.m. on Monday night. The pair had dug this hole through one of the jail walls using this, they said, primitive tool that they had constructed out of a toothbrush and a metal object. The tools helped them access untied rebar in the wall, which they then used for the rest of their escape, according to the sheriff. After getting out, the two encountered containment walls and had to scale a wall to leave the area. So these guys have to be really smart. I mean, they get the tool somehow. I don't know how long it took them to do this to the wall, but they had to be able to conceal it each night.
I was about to say that. Here's the deal. Somebody's getting their ass fired because you could drive it. You could drive a truck through that hole, and I don't care what there's nothing in the cell you could cover with that big. Andy Dufresne's poster wasn't that big.
Actually, they had a show business poster.
Oh, that must have been what it was. But if that was the case, they should have gone and done a scratch and sniff on the poster and seen that it was a hole in the wall.
Oh, God. It is a big hole. But actually, here's where I really want you to weigh in.
It's a big hole, Sir Business.
Here's where I really want you to weigh in with your expertise, Woody. Okay. No, listen. This is important. Okay. There has to be some kind of set of best practices for escape convicts that they would, adhere to in order to not be immediately reapprehended. I mean, what are some of those best practices? Yeah. What things should you not do?
Me? I tell you, what I would do is have somebody waiting on me and just get my ass out of the area. These heroes didn't do that.
Very good point. So, yes, having some help from the outside to transport you out of the immediate area. No, Garza and Nemo did not do that. And they should have gone to the Ask Woody helpline for assistance, yes, where they would have heard that. These guys actually were found on Tuesday morning. Apparently, everything they had done in the escape made them pretty hungry. And they stopped for a hearty breakfast at the IHOP in Hampton, Virginia, which is just a few miles away from the prison.
Right.
Bertha Jones waited on them while they were there. And she told local police, quote, "They seemed like nice guys, but they didn't smell very good. And they had jumpsuits with DOC on the back of them."
Might be a dead giveaway. Now, if it was the Waffle House, they'd probably been safe.
Jones informed her shift manager, who promptly notified police, who arrived on scene shortly after to arrest the two men. I believe they were they had finished their eggs and pancakes by then. Yeah. Here's the sheriff, whose name is Gabe Morgan, who said, "I'm thankful for the citizens who observed Garza and Nemo at the IHOP and notified law enforcement. It reinforces what we always say. See something, say something."
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you see two horribly smelling guys in Department of Corrections jumpsuits yeah, eating pancakes, that would definitely qualify under the see something.
So I'm going to tell those guys, not only would I have had someone pick me up if I was that hangry for IHOP, I would have had them pick up a to-go order before they picked me up.
Yeah, there was a better strategy than going in the IHOP. So the sheriff's office said that they have a team of officers and city facility engineers now reviewing the incident to determine how to mitigate the aforementioned facility weakness. Yeah, so they don't want anybody cutting a 5-foot hole in a wall using a toothbrush.
There'll be new policy and procedures on how to do everything that they didn't do.
Yeah, so Garza, by the way, was in custody on charges of contempt of court, probation violations, and failure to appear. Those are pretty minor. I mean,
not really, because he's getting swung, and that he's already been down on for whatever. So he failed to appear, failed to do his probation, which he knew he was going to state prison anyway. He might have done a murder, or not a murder, but he might have done an armed robbery or burglary or something like that and was out on probation for it. If you violate your probation, you have to go do your DOC time. So let's say he got sentenced to 5 years, suspended 5 years probation, right? You go up to the last day of that 5 years and you get busted for a charge. You got to go back and do the whole 5 years in prison.
Okay. But Nemo was being held on charges of credit card fraud, credit card larceny, forgery, possession of burglary tools, grand larceny, contempt of court, and probation violations. Yeah. Yeah. They don't seem like they were probably on the FBI's most wanted list.
No, and they don't seem like the most intelligent either. And again, I'll go on the record and say, had they been wearing DOC jumpsuits and smelling nasty and been in Waffle House eating, nobody would have said anything. IHOP's a step above.
This story brought to
sponsor us, Real Life Real Crime Day.
Brought to you by IHOP. So a criminal and internal investigation is underway by the sheriff's office to minimize the chances of such an event ever happening again. And charges related to the escape are pending for both of the inmates.
They're going to get 10 years each for that. That's what you get in St. Louisiana. You escape, you get 10 years.
I hope they enjoyed their pancakes.
Yep. So, y'all, another story out of Virginia, and I know they touched on it. Y'all touched on it last week when I wasn't here with Kelly Jennings about this gentleman dying in custody. And so the video is out now. What's his name?
Atieno is his last name.
So Atieno, y'all, I just watched the video and I'm going off of memory. But so the video very clearly shows they bring this guy in. Evidently, he had been resisting. They have him they carry him in, handcuffed and shackled. But you can still see he's still bucking up. And they put him on the floor. Now, there's jail staff there, and then there's uniform patrol staff. You can see the difference in the uniforms. And they come in, and they're holding him down. I don't think anybody will ever understand how much it takes. I'm not talking about George Floyd's bullshit, but if somebody's actively resisting and it's just hard to hold them down. I've had 5-6 guys my size trying to hold a guy down just to get cuffs on him. But this guy was even restrained, and you could see him when they're holding him down. He's still pushing up, but at some point they realize, holy shit, he's not breathing, and he ended up dying from it, right? But I do not believe this is a George Floyd incident or whatever. They're going to come back and I don't believe they smother him. Maybe he had a heart attack. I don't know. Go watch the video. It's sad that people who are almost making no money and put their lives on the line every day, and I'm talking about cops and correctional officers, et cetera, have to resort to this, but they very clearly are holding him down. And one thing, you're holding him down to stop him from hurting you, but you're also holding him down to stop him from hurting himself. And so at what point homie dies, I don't know. I hate it for his family, but the video to me clearly shows that he's still resisting, and I don't know. I don't know what happened.
Well, I think the family's position is that he was denied the medication that he had been on.
Yeah.
And because he was denied his meds
right.
over the weekend, this happened not during the original
right.
arrest,
exactly.
but during
he's
a
been
transport.
Detained. Right. right.
And so yeah. I think that's where they are coming from. But what struck me in the – and this is just – straight surveillance video, it's
right,
the cameras
right.
in the room, is there are eventually some medical staff
right.
comes in, at least 10 people, I think it was 11
yeah,
people
it's a lot.
That are there. Nobody, now it's, there's no audio, it's only
right,
video,
right.
but
nobody's,
but from looking at it, nobody is reacting as if anybody is doing anything inappropriate.
You don't see anybody pulling anybody off anybody or waving their hands or even
yeah, there's
talking
no
excited.
Sort of, nobody's throwing punches,
nobody's throwing
or
punches,
there's none
elbows,
of that.
Dropping
it's,
knees.
It's all an attempt to, you know, to get him under control
right.
appears like.
They say use whatever force necessary to bring the situation under control. And then while this, what they weren't beating him or anything like that, is still a use of force when anytime you have to touch someone after verbal commands. I can't testify to the medicine he was and wasn't on. They're going to have a uphill battle on that one. I can tell you that it's unfortunate, and how many times I've arrested people who are just batshit crazy and off their meds, but that's not my problem. I mean, if you're out there committing the crime and you're off your meds, then you might not get to see the doctor until Monday.
Well, currently it's been made the problem. All these people are under arrest.
Right. Yeah, yeah, right? I know. That's bullshit they're going to get.
But ultimately, it seems like there should be some accountability, but not accountability necessarily on the part of individuals here.
I want to know what – y'all go watch the video. If they had just let – the guy free,
what would
he have done, right? So it's catch 22.
Well, but even say they did that and he did something terrible. Maybe he,
right.
he
maybe
killed
bit,
one of them.
Maybe bit somebody's nose off.
Okay.
Yeah, right.
The issue about the meds would still come into play, would it not?
They're not medical staff. They're not a doctor. Maybe they – I mean, you can't – bring every single person. Let's say you process 150 people that night. You can bring everyone to a doctor. You do ask them about your meds and stuff when you fill out the booking sheets, and you even ask them if you're high. There's all kinds of questions that are on there. But if they say, "Yeah, I'm on such such meds and I hadn't had it in such such time," well, shit, it's documented. You pass it up. That's the medical staff to make the decision. You know, I don't get it.
Well, had
George Floyd not happened, which was a trap, that was murder. Had George Floyd not happened, this shit would have never even got brought to light. I mean, obviously the family was still said what they said, but why I saw the video, and it's nothing I haven't done 100 times.
Well, we're certain to hear more about it, and yeah. We will report back when we do.
Interesting.
All right, we got another segment for you, and This is my favorite segment because it's called They Stole What?
What?
Exactly. What? They stole what? We need to get a, like a...
Chicken wing?
Yeah, we need
chicken
a...
Chicken wing?
We need a sound
a theme,
bite.
A little a sound bite for that. We're going to work on what? That.
What's chicken wing?
Yeah, maybe next week. But
is that dude still alive? What you talking about, Willis?
We get him talking about Willis?
They stole what?
He's actually not.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, Gary Coleman.
Gary Coleman, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Rest in peace, Gary.
Rest in peace.
All right, so they stole what? And this week, we're going to tell you about something that is becoming more and more common, and that is the theft of manhole covers. Now, they had a man in Florida who was actually caught with 166 manhole covers that had disappeared in Florida. Police announced that they have arrested the suspect, and the Polk County Sheriff's detectives launched the investigation after a local utility company reported that dozens of these 300-pound manhole covers had gone missing over a period of 2 weeks. So they made quick work of it. A scrap alert was sent to all secondhand metal dealers, and that sparked a tip leading to the arrest of Christopher Fink, who was arrested after he allegedly offloaded the covers. The scrap metal would be worth more than $22,000, y'all.
Yep.
Now, a press release from the sheriff's office notes that the lack of manhole covers significantly increases, obviously, the risk to drivers driving down the road. People walking.
I'm mad as a motherfucker. You know why? I've been walking through the woods in old wells that – you know, you're not paying attention. I'm a squirrel hunting, looking up in a tree, and I fucking fell into an old well. It was only like 12 feet, but that shit hurt.
You fell all the way down?
Yeah. Fell in the well, and I had to get my buddy to get me out. If you're just walking down the street and you step into a manhole, I'd be pissed.
You'd be pissed. Well, and believe it or not, y'all, this is common like globally. In the UK, as a matter of fact, they had a gang, and this gang had stole 900 manhole covers in 6 months. They would dress as city workers and just basically steal them, throw them in trucks, and leave. And if you notice, with manhole covers, they typically mark these. So it might say City of New Orleans or City of NO.
Right.
That is so the scrap metal secondhand dealers will know that it was stolen. The problem is
some of those guys are shady.
Right. So they can
melt it down for the
that's right. What like device do they use to get these things?
Pry bar. They have the little square holes on them to pop them up. Now let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
And Jim, I asked you this before, Mike. Why do they make manhole covers round? You're Vanderbilt educated. You should figure this out.
I spent most of my time at Vandy in the frat house.
Yeah, so did I. What frat were you in?
Pi Cap Alpha.
Sipping there.
Don't know. Why are they round?
They are round because you cannot drop a round cover through a round hole. It's impossible. Figure that out.
Look, y'all ought to see. There's a hamster wheel turning on Mike, and he's thinking, "How can
you got a round hole? It's perfectly fit for the round hole. You can't drop it sideways; it won't go in. It can only fit onto the top of the round hole.
If I have a smaller round object,
but they're exactly
They're made for that hole. That's why manhole covers are perfectly round for the hole that they fit in. If they were square, you could drop it and be like, "Oh shit!"
Oh, I understand.
I got a hangover this morning. I dropped it. Right.
I misunderstood the question, but if they had 166 of these and they weigh 300 pounds, that's 50,000 pounds of manhole covers.
$20,000 worth.
$22,000.
They get pennies on the dollar on scrap.
I mean, you can't transport that many unless you got an armored car. I mean, major
trailer.
Each manhole cover was $130.
Yeah.
So it's basically like finding $130 on the ground every time you pick one up.
Okay. Yeah. But not easy to pick 300 pounds up off the ground.
Speak for yourself, Michael.
I bet you it's like NASCAR pit stops. I bet they had it down to like 12 seconds. Hit it.
Yeah, man.
Pop, pop. So they got a crew of huge dudes that are just
probably two in a pry bar.
And look, let me say, because
you can roll it once you pry it up on the side, you can roll it and just flip it on the trailer.
Yeah, they figured it out. There's no doubt about it. It happened. But let me say this: there's a major problem with scrap theft, and I'll give you a good example. My wife's friend parked her car at Bass Pro Shop here in Denham Springs the other day, broad daylight. Had both of her catalytic converters stolen in the middle of the day.
Big deal.
And what it is catalytic converters have silver in them. And so they steal these and they bring them to scrap yards and they get big money for them.
That's a big deal. They did it.
Takes 12 seconds.
They did. You're right. And because they're professionals at it. But they also had a big problem in this area. All the school buses, the school bus drivers go out to start their shit, and the catalytic converters are gone.
Yeah, and you can, it doesn't affect, the crazy thing is, you start the car, and I mean, it sounds like the loudest.
Right.
Wah,
sounds
big,
like, sounds loud, like my truck.
Yeah, it sounds like Woody's truck normally. But it's a major problem, and it only takes 12 seconds. They take these zip saws, and they just, and they're gone.
Pretty genius thing. If I was a criminal, I'd probably do that. The other big one is copper theft. A sheet of copper that used to cost $85 now costs over $400. That's why they were all these AC units and new houses are getting built in these new neighborhoods. The construction's not finished yet. They go in and cut out all the copper, rip out all the copper out of the wall.
Wow.
You never know what you get on Real Life Real Crime Daily.
Okay. That's right.
Protect your metal.
That's harder than stealing $1.5 million worth of chicken wings.
Hey, don't lie. You're just thinking about how a round hole, manhole cover can't fall in the hole.
It's
I know that's perplexing.
I can't do the math equation on that.
All right. Next.
Lots of stories in the news about spring break, particularly spring break down in Florida. Down in Miami, South Beach area. I used to love spring break.
I never had a hotel room either.
Jim, I'm sure we were all big, you know.
Dine and dash for the first time in spring break.
What these guys go through today versus what we went through. I mean, it's just,
Club La Viva.
It's just scary.
Club La Viva.
But I don't know if you remember, but last year, and I don't know if it was South Beach. I think it was South Beach. There were these students from West Point who got fentanyl poisoning down there.
Oh, my gosh.
You remember that story? No. It was a big story.
Big deal. They did curfews and all kinds of shit.
So the state of Florida and city of Miami, Tampa, all the big spots had anticipated, you know, another really challenging spring break season with thousands of college students converging on their beaches, right? And with those kind of crowds comes the inevitable use of drugs, marijuana, alcohol, but pills.
I once lit my hair on fire at spring break.
We'll get back to that in a second. This is an important story.
So is my hair.
Okay. Well, your hair is important. Last year, as I said, brought overdose deaths, including several West Point cadets who had bought fentanyl-laced cocaine. And that was in Broward County, so Fort Lauderdale, Boca Raton area. This year, the crowds were even bigger. One big reason why the crowds are bigger this year is parents and even kids on their own are deciding not to go to Mexico specifically because of the fentanyl scares, the murders a couple of weeks ago. And because of that, a lot of them are rerouting themselves to Florida beaches, and so they've got an even bigger influx than they had planned on having. And the State Department also issued specific travel advisories to some of the most popular areas. So there's a travel advisory to Cancun. There's a travel advisory to Cabo.
It's a shame when you can't get high without worrying about dying. Get high without dying. And what happened in the good old days? You just buy some good dope.
Well, and the cartels are now recruiting American teens via handouts and social media to come to the border to then be a mule and bring the stuff to spring break locations. They actually have American teens doing this. It's, you know, it's unbelievable. So the fentanyl is ending up in a bunch of different pills: speed, oxycodone, ecstasy, Xanax, Adderall. So the focus has been heavily on policing drug use and preventing this fentanyl death. And so in the middle of all that, what happens? Violence breaks out.
There you go.
So City of Miami Beach was forced to declare a state of emergency and announced a midnight curfew Sunday after two deadly shootings rocked Ocean Drive. Ocean Drive, if you haven't been down to the South Beach area, Ocean Drive is the main drag along the water where the restaurants and clubs all are. It's where, I mean, if you're going down there for spring break, it's where you're going to be at night.
It's like Bourbon Street in Miami on the beach.
Yeah.
So it's where all the beautiful people go.
So the bullets are flying on
The same shit happened last year, didn't it? They shut it down with curfews and everything.
Well, last year, as I said, it was more the drug stuff. Yeah. And so they had a first shooting on Friday night, and they didn't alter any of the rules. But then on Sunday, they had a second shooting, and these are both on Ocean Drive. So after the second shooting on Sunday, city officials put the curfew in effect. And actually, as we speak, they either may have last night or today extended it again through this weekend, which means if you're there, you've got to you're not allowed out in those areas after midnight.
That sucks for everybody. Business owners, people go to party. I mean, shit, if I wanted to not be allowed out after midnight, I could stay at my parents' house or something.
So people, even if you work for a commercial business, you must leave before midnight. The hotels can operate past midnight but only service their own guests. Restaurants can operate after curfew for delivery only, according to the order. No takeout is allowed.
I bet Drizzly.com is doing a boom business.
I'm sure they are, and I'm sure they normally do in that area. So, so it's a very different spring break experience. And imagine having to think before you go out at night for spring break, both about whether you're going to buy a pill from someone or whether you're going to be in an area where there's gunfire. I mean, this is in the heart. That's the epicenter of the spring break stuff down there.
America today.
Scary, scary stuff.
Crazy. If you're in Miami for spring break, and everybody goes to spring break for one reason, well, two reasons: to party and have sex, right? And so I would encourage you to wrap it up so your parents don't get grandchildren and shit like that. But let me ask you, I ask you, the listeners, have you ever heard of stealthing?
No.
Well, I'm about to share some.
Enlighten me.
All right, stealthing, y'all. And, you know, RRC Daily is always on the forefront of these stories. I had heard of stealthing, and it really should be a criminal act. And in Dutch, in the Netherlands, a Dutch court has convicted a man for removing his condom during sex without his partner's consent, marking a landmark change in how to deal with the act of stealthing. So stealthing is the act of slipping your condom off while you're giving the bone home without your partner knowing.
Oh,
male, female.
That's a big no-no.
Right?
That's a big
no-no. I mean, like,
that's really
right. Because I mean, you could pregnancy, you can get AIDS, or what you're like Mike, you can get disgusting. The blue crabs. Probably the condom wouldn't stop the crabs, right, Mike?
Oh, they can just tear right through there. Yeah, they've got big claws.
Anyway, so back to the story. Court says, by his actions, the suspect forced the victim to tolerate having unprotected sex with him, the court said. And in doing so, he restricted her personal freedom and abused the trust she had placed in him.
You think?
You know, that just hit me. John Ritter movie where they had the glowing condoms, and it was like lightsabers. Y'all didn't see that? So all condoms, I'm claiming it from this point forward. All condoms should glow in the dark. That way, you know if you can still. It's dark. Anyway, the unnamed 28-year-old man sent the victim's text after they had sex, including one that insisted she would be fine after learning the act. Stealthing has become a greater issue for courts as they tackle how to best handle cases that can expose a sexual partner to sexually transmitted diseases and unwanted pregnancy. The Dutch court acquitted the man of a rape charge, however, because the court ruled that the sex was consensual. The judge found appropriate agreement between the suspect and the complainant about the sexual penetration. I don't know, y'all. The dude got a 3-month suspended prison sentence and 1,073 U.S. American dollar fine, which would equal 1,000 euros for damages.
Wow.
But
what a piece of crap that guy is.
So I guess it wouldn't be cost effective to make them all like have LEDs on condoms.
I wouldn't think that would be that expensive.
But I mean, this is a real deal there. I've read
I've heard about it.
Sometimes, I'm going to leave that alone. If I leave it alone, this must be bad. I'm not going to say that thought.
Well,
I'm out. Stealthy.
We are on to our last segment for today.
I'm going
to start. We need a sound bite for this too. And that is dun, 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 on this day in crime. So we got some good ones for you today, y'all. March 23rd, 1860.
Big crime day. Big crime day.
Right? Yeah. 1860.
Anne Bolanski is executed by hanging in Minnesota after poisoning her husband with arsenic the prior year. She is the only woman in Minnesota to receive the death penalty.
Really?
How about that?
Poisoning her husband?
With arsenic.
They should have poisoned her with arsenic.
Yeah. Well, they did worse. I'm sure she got the hanging. They hung them back then with no problem.
Yeah.
So
I hope they made it a public spectacle.
You know, 323 is the same forwards or backwards.
323.
That's random.
I mean, I think that really. 323.
No, because it would go 3-2-3.
Dum,
dum, hey, you know what? That's kind of like my manhole cover being around.
That's a little bit like the manhole cover thing.
Yeah, that's a little much for me. I know the manhole cover.
Boom, Jim.
Well, I just think it's related to crime.
Anyway.
Go ahead.
Mike's best friend is who we're talking about now, Joey Buttafuoco.
Joey. Oh, my God.
In 1994.
Joey's from Bayshore.
In 1994, he was released from jail, and Mike picked him up, probably. Yeah. He spent just over 4 months in prison.
Mm-hmm.
1994. In 1998, Gerald Staino.
Wait, you're not getting off of Joey Buttafuoco come on.
Joey Buttafuoco.
What was her name?
Can't remember her name, but the
Long Island Lolita.
What was her name? Didn't somebody get something chopped?
Yeah.
In this
Long Island Lolita got shot by his wife.
Yeah, shot. But I was thinking about
Amy Fisher, who's actually hot now.
I refuse to believe Amy Fisher is hot now.
Oh, she's an attractive woman. Crazy is I'll get out, but attractive. Anyway,
really,
Joey Buttafuoco was released on this day in 1994. On this day in 1998, Gerald Staino is executed after he is convicted of 9 murders. He confessed, actually, to 41 and received 8 life sentences and 1 death sentence. And finally, in 2008, Stephen Supple murders his wife and their 4 children with 2 baseball bats. Really? He then dies after purposely wrecking the family van. So that is your On This Day in Crime segment for March.
And the good thing is that was not our sound effect.
We're going to come up with something.
Go look up Joey Buttafuoco.
Amy Fisher.
I got Amy Fisher right here then and now. But Joey Buttafuoco, I think he even did a little porn when he came out. But to be honest with you.
She did.
Oh, was it?
I know that, she did.
Joey Buttafuoco looks like Mike.
Just saying. Joey Buttafuoco does not look like
Mike and Joey
Buttafuoco. Let me see this.
Some of them.
Oh, my God.
What? It kind of looks like you. Shit, it looks like his twin. I don't think it looks like not now, because look at it now. I mean,
it's Mike. Woody,
that's the first thing you have ever done to actually piss me off.
Okay. I was trying to save it.
Comparing
I just thought that
Joey Buttafuoco.
I don't even mean.
Stop. Okay. I'm going to break your phone. All right. Stop. All
right. I'm teasing y'all. He doesn't really look like him.
Thank y'all for listening, watching, sharing.
Yeah.
And comment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
On everything love it. We do.
All the good, bad, and indifferent comments. Wait,
yeah. And we need to get out of here right now because Mike is not doing this next segment.
Hey, I got to call ZocDoc.com because Mike's about to knock me the F out.
You guys, this is just in. This is breaking news. Oh, God. The I-Team just reported this.
Boom, I'm teasing about Joey.
The I-Team. This is a fresh I-Team.
We got to put
report.
Mike and Joey's picture up one day.
A fresh I-Team report.
Sorry, go
ahead. Breaking news.
Trump has been indicted.
You lie.
He has been.
You lie.
Indicted for calling Stormy Daniels horse face.
Oh, my God.
Y'all have no idea how much you've been hearing.
No. Come on. Hey, Baton Rouge girl.
I get it, but at least it's
all American girl.
At least you come back with Gwyneth Paltrow, right? So,
I did want to do the Gwyneth Paltrow story that they wouldn't let me do, guys. But. I mean, calling Stormy horseface, that's the only crime that I can see in any of this is, you know. Stormy, you don't look like a horse.
I will defer. I've been accused of being the fixer who gave her the bribe because I might have been in that business back in the day, but I wasn't. But I knew it.
Nope.
I can't tell you if I ever met Stormy Daniels in person.
Can we go video me trying to put a manhole cover through a manhole?
That's it. And we do that, and we get some pictures of you and Joey.
Until next time, I'm Jim Chapman.
I'm Woody Overton.
And I'm Mike Agavino.
For Real Life, Real Crime Daily. Peace.
Shut business.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.